Looking again at Psalm 51, again reading in verse 6, says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." The Lord desires truth in the inward parts. And this is exactly what the Lord told the lady, the woman. She wasn't a lady, I don't guess, but she was a woman there at the well in Samaria. He said, "The Father seeketh such to worship him as worship him in spirit and truth." That is, not in outward forms. Now, because the question that she asked him was, "Well, where should we worship you? Which church is the right one? Is the Baptist right? Is the Methodist right? Who's right?" She said, "Woman, you don't even know what you're talking about." He said, "Neither in this mountain nor in the other is the Lord going to be worshipped." He said, "The Father seeketh such to worship him as worship him in spirit and truth," which that is in the inward parts. So we're not interested in the outward forms that men come up with. And there's a multitude. You know, you would be hard-pressed to sit down and write every little sect and group and this and that and the other that people have come up with over the years. And every one of them believes they're right, don't they? Huh? I mean, every one. And a lot of them's willing to fight you over it. I mean, you know, or at least consign you to hell if you don't follow along with their line of thought. The Lord is not interested in any of that. But he desires truth in the inward parts. David understood that. And it was because of the quickening work of the Spirit of God upon him that taught him that, and gave him a desire to be cleansed. Now, as he goes on to say here, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." He wanted to be clean inside. He wanted to be washed. He wanted to be made pure. Now, we often hear men say, "Well, you know, if you preach grace to men and you don't give them a little bit of the law to go in there and hold it over them and tell them, you know, God's going to do this. If you don't do this, then why they'll just go off and do all sorts of things." And that is true of the flesh. Religious men need the law to keep them in line. They really do. I mean, you got to have somebody standing up there constantly cracking the whip, or they'll go off into all sorts of stuff. But those in whom the Lord is pleased to work and cause them to have this same desire that David had, they don't need that work continually upon them, because they have a desire within their heart to have a clean heart, to be pure before God. You see, you don't have to try to get a man who has been awakened by the Spirit of God to desire holiness in the inward parts. That's just part of the work of the Spirit of God. He leads them into all truth. And they can't do anything about it. I mean, that's just what God is pleased to do in them. And He's pleased to work that out. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. That is, on the inside. Clean me inside. And wash me on the outside. And I will be whiter than snow. If you wash me. You see, the sow that's washed, what does it do? Returns to its wallowing in the mire. Why? Because it's just an external washing. But when that purging is done on the inside, as well as the outside, by the hand of the Lord, then they shall, He said, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now the Lord knows them that are His. And you know, the modern day message of positive thinking and upbeat mind, you know, and don't think any negative thoughts and all of these things, it can't quite come to grips with this concept that the Lord breaks the bones of His children. For a good reason. Now, I've heard it said. I don't know that this is true. I'm just repeating something that I heard somebody say one time. Might not be a lick of truth in it, but it makes a good illustration if it is true. And we'll make believe that it's true even if it isn't. But I have read that a shepherd sometimes, if he has a particularly wayward sheep, lamb that won't, you know, stay with the flock and goes running off or whatever, that he will take and break that lamb's leg, and then he'll carry that lamb around with him till that leg heals. And then once that leg is healed, that lamb, he's not going to run off anymore, because he loves the shepherd, because he has an affection for the shepherd. And the Lord often brings His people by a way. Well, the Scripture says He brings us by a way which we knew not. And He will often break the bones of His people and bring them down to where they just... He broke Jonah's bones, didn't He? I mean, He broke Jonah's bones, and he was brought down to that place where he had no other hope. And so David said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, the breaking of the bones is not a good thing. Jonah didn't enjoy being in the fish's belly. And oft times the course that the Lord would put us through to bring us to the place where we see what we are by nature is a hard road to hoe. Sometimes it almost seems that the Lord would let a man ruin himself. But He doesn't do it to destroy the man. He does it to bring him unto Himself. It's a great blessing to be chastened by the Lord, for the Lord to bring us unto Himself. David knew that. And he said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken. Don't let me just go on lamenting the fact that my bones have been broken and I've had a hard time, but make me to hear joy. Lord, give me an ear that I might rejoice in the things of God. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities, because my sin is ever before me. He said, I see it. Every time I look in the mirror, I see it. And we're not trying to get people to lament their sins, because you see, when the Spirit of God works in a man, he's going to do that. We're not sent to tell men, lament your sins. We're called on to lift up Christ, that we might have seasons of joy, that we might reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Jesus Christ. You see, that's the blessing of the glory of salvation, is when the Lord is pleased to open our eyes to see Christ high and lifted up, and his train filling the temple, and we have reason to rejoice. And David said, Lord, don't let me dwell on the fact that my iniquity is before me. Cast them away, purge me, clean, create in me, hide thy face from mine iniquities. My sins, blot out my iniquities, because only he can. See, you can't do it. You'll dwell on your sin, and you'll be overcome by it. There's no joy in contemplating your sin. And only the Lord can blot them out. But he has blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us. And you see, that's why the Lord said that I'm anointed to preach good tidings of great joy. Good tidings to the poor and those who are in places of need. You see, that is the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is a good message. It's good news. It's a message of the mercy of God to sinners. Now, everybody's not a sinner. Now, I know everybody sins. Everybody's not a sinner. Now, the Lord's going to save sinners. The Scripture says he seeks and saves sinners. He came to save sinners. But see, everybody's not a sinner. Now, if you ask a person, have they sinned, they'll say, oh, well, sure I have. Everybody knows they've sinned. But you see, it takes a work of the Spirit of God, like Cowper said in his hymn. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. Because you see, only the Lord can show a man that he's a sinner. Not just that he did some things wrong. But see, that's where David was brought. And he said, Lord, hide thy face from my sin. I don't like it. I don't want it. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cleanse me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. What's a right spirit? A right spirit is that which rejoices in the Lord. Some say, well, that's presumption. No, dear brethren, that's the grace of God that causes a man to rejoice in him who has taken away our sin as far as the east is from the west. Now, we don't always see that as clearly as we need to. And only the Lord can give us eyes to see it, and that's what David's praying here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What is a right spirit for the children of God? To know and understand that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now the law of sin and death, it just holds an anvil over your head every day held up by a thread, says you're a sinner. And there's no doubt you're convinced of that, aren't you? I don't have to convince you of that. You know it if the grace of God has visited you. But dear brethren, the glory and the wonder of the mercy of God revealed to his people is when we come to the place that we see, in spite of the fact that we are indeed sinners, he's the Savior of sinners. And he said that he would give us a glad spirit and a glad heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Because you see, Now, the Lord never forsakes His own. You see, the Lord never forsook David. Even in the midst of his murderous intent, his adulterous behavior, and all of that, the Lord never forsook David. But David forsook the Lord. And what David's praying about here, he says, "Oh Lord, bring me back in my understanding and my mind and my heart to rejoice in Thee." If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now, does that mean that the Lord's waiting up there and He said, "Well, I'm holding this sin over him until he confesses it. Now, if he'll confess it, I'll forgive it." Is that what John's talking about? No. He said, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from our sin." Now, does that mean that we're not cleansed of our sin when we're walking contrary to His way? No. If we be in Christ, we're in Christ. But what it does mean is that we can't clearly see it. And that's what David's praying for here. "Lord, renew a right spirit within me. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Let me see those things that Thou hast done in my behalf. I'm tired of seeing what I am because I know what I am." See, when the Lord worked in a man's heart, He teaches him pretty quick what he is. I don't want to see what I am. I want to see who Christ is. I want to rejoice in Him. And David said, "Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me," what? "The joy of my salvation." Is that what he says? Now, you know, you can hear a lot of people talk about my salvation. They got their salvation. They got their personal Savior. They got this and they got that. Well, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation." You see, "Lord, teach me what You have done for me." Now, I remember reading I was getting two stories bobbled up in my mind there, but and I don't remember who told this, but they were telling about a lady who she had an experience with the Lord, and she wrote it down on a piece of paper, and she put it up in the cabinet. And every time when she'd get to feeling a little bit low, she'd go open that cabinet up and she'd read on that piece of paper all about the things the Lord had done for her. Well, one day she was feeling low and she went in there and went to pull the piece of paper out, and a rat had got in there and ate the paper up. I mean, she was in a mess, wasn't she? And the reason was because her comfort was coming from what she thought she had done in seeking the Lord. But dear brethren, the comfort and joy of the children of God comes as they recognize what it is that the Lord has done for them. See, that's the joy of Thy salvation. See, that's what we want, is the joy of Thy salvation. I'm not interested in what somebody's telling me. I remember when I was a kid growing up, and I don't know how many times when I would get stirred up and troubled about it. And of course, I had joined the church when, I don't know, I was probably about 10 years old or something. And they kept telling me, "Oh, you're all right. You're saved. You were baptized." I mean, all this stuff. They told me that this was the way it was. But the Lord, He kept working on me. And I'm not trying to tell you that He just worked on me from that point forward. But at a point in time, at a later time, the Lord brought me to a place where I didn't care what somebody told me. I didn't want somebody to tell me, "Oh, we know you're saved. Don't doubt your salvation," and all that kind of stuff. I just wanted to know the Lord. I didn't want to know if I was had an experience. I didn't want somebody to tell me what the experience was. I wanted to know the Lord. Now, brethren, I don't know how a man comes to such a place as that. I know that I didn't figure out to come to that such a place as that, but I know the Lord brought me to a place like that. And that's what David's praying here. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lord, I need you. I don't need to know what I can do or what I have done. You know, I don't need to rededicate my life or whatever it is they're telling them nowadays. You know, I don't need that. I need to know the Lord. And there's nobody can help a man with that. You can't go to enough classes. You can't read enough books. Only the Lord can give you that joy of His salvation. Only Him. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Because He said, I have walked away from that. Is that I turned my back on that which I knew to be right. And O Lord, restore unto me an understanding of what it is that you have done for me. Then, he said, will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know, whenever, back years ago, and I remember when they'd have a revival meeting or whatever, they'd sometimes, especially depending on who the evangelist was or whatever, they'd come through and they would have you, they'd teach you how these soul winning classes, and they'd teach you how you could do it. You know, this is what you need to say, and if somebody says this, you say that, and this, that, or the other. But David understands this, that only as the Lord works in a man, his truth, and can he teach transgressors thy ways. Why? Because how's he going to teach them? Is he going to talk them into something? Is he going to answer their questions right? No, because it's going to be the work of the Lord is going to be seen in those whom the Lord works. And then, you know, as the Lord works in His people, He calls His people. I mean, you see it in the day of Pentecost. I mean, they say, what in the world's going on here? And they say, we need to hear about this. And the Lord called those who belonged to Him. And as many as heard the word, believed. Because that's the way the Lord works. Then shall I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Not because of me, but because of what you do. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Now David was guilty of blood guiltiness because the blood of Uriah was upon his hands. He couldn't look to the right and say, well, the Philistines did it, or whoever they were fighting. Yeah, I think it was the Philistines. He couldn't say the Philistines did it. He knew that he was the one, just as surely as if he'd have took the knife and plunged it into Uriah's heart, he knew that he was guilty of Uriah's sin. And there's nothing that could change that. But he said, oh God, deliver me from it. Not so I can say, well, I didn't do it, but so that I might not be crushed by it. Now, you often hear men say, well, you've got to learn to forgive yourself. Well, you can forgive yourself all day long. That won't do you a lick's worth of good. But when God is pleased to forgive you and to bring that forgiveness to your mind and heart, you see, Christ came not just simply to pay for the price of our sin, but to give the guilty conscience rest as we look to him. See, the high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies with these offerings, what did he do? He reminded everybody of the sin. Here's the sin. We're putting it on the altar. But you see, in Christ, the sin is taken away. What a glorious thing. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Dear brethren, that's the subject of our song. It's not how sorry we are. We already knew it. If you'd asked me, I'd have told you exactly how sorry you are. And I can sure tell you how sorry I am. But that's not our song, is it? We don't want to sing about that. We want to sing about the one who is the Savior, the one who takes away our sin. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. He has made unto us wisdom, sanctification, justification. He is our righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. How can a man praise God? Now, we got today, they got these outfits and these people that learn how to do this, and they call them worship leaders. And they're going to get everybody to worship. Come on now, we're going to worship. We're going to praise God. And I know they mean well, and I'm not discounting that 100%, but the thing about it is, dear brethren, unless God moves a man to praise him, somebody prancing around with a microphone and a guitar and doing all kinds of things is not going to cause men to worship the Lord. But when the Lord puts praise within a man's heart, he'll praise him. Even if somebody's prancing around with a microphone or whatever. I mean, it just doesn't make any difference. It's not here or there. It's not a thing that men need. What they do need, however, is the Spirit of God. My tongue shall sing aloud, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth praise. That's the only way it's going to happen. Lord, if you open my lips and let me praise thee. Don't entertain the notion that you can just praise God whenever you get ready. I like to hear people praise God, but that one of the expressions that I almost despise is when people say, praise God. And I don't know what they mean by that all the time. Praise the Lord. Well, what does that mean? I mean, I don't know. I'm not sitting here to judge people, but I'm just saying, dear brethren, that's not necessarily praise to the Lord. It might be just something somebody learned. You know, somebody just saying out of habit, have a nice day. Have a blessed day. And all of those things. I'm not Scrooge, and I'm not against that. I'm not going to fight somebody because they say such things as that. But I understand, dear brethren, those things cannot occur without the grace of God working in men. And that's what David's desiring. Lord, cause these things to come to me. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Now, this is an amazing thing for the king of Israel to say. Because the law said, offer these offerings. But you see, the Spirit of God taught David that these things weren't anything, really. Because he looked beyond that sacrifice. He said, there's something else that you desire, O Lord, beside these things. And I thought Brother Al, as he brought that out this morning, about this offering was an offering. The offering that the Lord was pleased with, the one that said it was a sweet savor, was the offering of sin. Is that not what he's speaking about here? He said, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The Lord's not looking to see what religious things people can come up with. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You see, that's the offering up of sin, is it not? A broken and a contrite heart. The Lord pleased with such. The Scripture says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that what? Repenteth. Now, I was taught that you need to repent. And when you repent, then that's it. You did it. You repented. Well, he's repented. But, brethren, that's not what repentance is. You see, a man who knows himself to be a sinner is going to be in a constant state of repentance if the Spirit of God works in him. And that's what's happening with David here. Did David repent? Yes, he repented, but he is repenting. It is the work of the Spirit of God in God's people to cause them to repent. And the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. The Lord said the first one of the Beatitudes, as people call them, was what? Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. He wasn't talking about people that didn't have any money. He was talking about those who are poor in spirit, those who have a broken heart. Those who are like the bruised reed and the smoking flax, which he will not break nor quench. Blessed are those who have a tender heart before God. Because how did they get it? He gave it to them. And he will not despise that which he works in his people. Oh God, thou wilt not despise it. Because you see, the Lord, he's pleased with what he does with his children, is he not? Just as he's pleased with what his son did, he's pleased with the work of the Spirit in his people that brings them to a place of repentance. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, build up your kingdom, Lord. Let the kingdom of Christ be magnified in the earth. Is that not the desire of God's people? Do we not desire to see the kingdom of Christ magnified and exalted? Because when it is, his name is lifted up. And he said, when you build up Zion, when you bring God's people to that place where you would have them to be, he said, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Now, he just got through saying the Lord didn't have anything to do with it. So what's he mean? He's saying because whenever that occurs, he said they'll be offering the right kind of bullocks. It won't be one that's walking around out here in the field twitching his tail and eating grass. It'll be the bullocks of a broken heart. Because that's the sacrifice with which he's pleased. It's the sacrifice with which he's always been pleased. The Lord wasn't pleased, as he said there in one of the Psalms there we just read, Psalm 50. The sacrifices of the temple wasn't everything that he took delight in. He only took delight in it insofar as it represented the sacrifice of Christ. That was the thing with which he's pleased. He's not pleased. And he's pleased. He's only pleased with our repentance, not because we repent, but he's pleased because it's the work of his Spirit in us. See, men think, well, you know, I'm going to repent, and the Lord's going to be happy with me now. He wasn't happy with me before, but he's happy now because I finally repented. No, the Lord worked in his people a perfect work. He brings them where he wants to, and he says, they belong to me. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's what David said. The Lord brought David by an arduous path. When you read the life of David, I don't know of anybody that would put themselves in David's place. I wouldn't want to trade places with David. And I mean, you know, sure he had some glorious moments, but dear brethren, he had some heartache that went on in his life. I mean, just, you know, crushing. He said, Lord, you broke my bones, but oh, cause my bones to heal, that I might praise thee. Job, he went through a lot, and he thought he was a lot further along than he was. You know, if you'd asked old Job, are you doing pretty good? He said, yep. He said, I sacrifice regular. I know about the Lord. He's high and lifted up. He's a king. He talked about the sovereignty of God, didn't he? I mean, Job, he was well-versed in the sovereignty of God. He said to his wife, she said, curse God and die. He said, shall we receive good from the hand of the Lord, not evil? Oh, Job knew a lot. He was right up there. But oh, the Lord brought Job right where he wanted him to be when he began the work. Because you see, he designed all of that. Satan didn't come and say, I want to do something to Job. The Lord said, hey, I got a servant down here. See what you can do with him. Because you see, the Lord knew. The Lord knew that Job was his. And he knew before it ever began where he was going to bring Job. And Job talked to his friends about who God was, and then God showed up. Just like old Forrest Gump said, you know. And God showed up. And he did. And Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. He said, I thought I knew something. But he said, now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Oh, what a glorious work the Lord does in his children, just like he did with David. David didn't go out when it was time for war, because the Lord would break the bones of David and bring him down to a place where he would perform a work in him with which he was pleased. And David would say, O Lord, remove not thy Holy Spirit from me. Give me the joy of thy salvation. May the Lord give us that joy today. The joy of his salvation, that he works in his people by his own power, according to the good pleasure of his will. Oh, that he might give that to us today, that we might rejoice and praise him. That'll be pure praise. See, when a man just praises the Lord for what the Lord did, and he forgot that he did anything he might have done, that's pure praise. When men go around talking about what they've done for the Lord, that's not pure praise. I don't know what it is. But there's no place for it in the lives of God's people. May he be praised and exalted.